I want to teach this morning from Ephesians 1 and 13. If you'll stand, I'll read you one verse of Scripture. I want to say this morning, too, that about 10 o'clock, if you want, you have some kiddos here and you want to kind of like mom and dad want to film, watch them hunt eggs or whatever, at 10 o'clock, you're welcome to ease yourself out of here and go to the back. If it's not raining, they're going to do it outside in the back here. If it is raining, is it raining? If it isn't raining, they're going to do some things in the classroom, but you're welcome as parents to go back at about 10 o'clock. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I want to talk this morning from this title, The Gospel Truth. The Gospel Truth. It's not just the truth, it's the gospel truth. God, open up our eyes and our understanding, Lord, our ears, that we not only hear it vocally today, but we hear it in our spirit, the calling of God from the cross to the crown. We're thankful, Lord, that you did what you did, that we might enjoy what we have today. Be with us today as we commemorate the resurrection in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When I read this scripture about Paul is talking to this church at Ephesians, and they're a mixed up group of people, and he lets them know that the word of truth was the gospel of your salvation. He said that after you believed, that you were sealed with this Holy Spirit of promise. I don't want anybody to be confused you can get confused by just one verse. You can read one verse and you bank your salvation on one verse, and guess what? You have missed it. There's no one verse that constitutes complete salvation. Did you know that? There's no one verse. If that was so, we don't need a Bible. There's no one verse. It's here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, with stammering lips and another tongue shall I speak to this people. It takes the whole book. And so I don't want you to be confused when you read it says that after you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, because Jesus himself said on that last day of that great feast, he said, let he that is athirst come unto me. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. One drink and rivers come out. Rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit or the Holy Ghost that them that believed should receive. So let's not be confused that believing is the first, the coming to God. No man can come to God except he what? First, believe. So believing is the baby step, if you will. It is a giant step in some ways, but is the first step, I should say, in your direction towards living and serving God. Now, this gospel truth, the word gospel does not appear in the Old Testament. It is a New Testament word, and there's a reason for that. Because it is related to the prophecies of the Old Testament. But the word gospel means good news, right? Or good spell. Yeah, good spell. So it's good news. So the gospel, the good news didn't come until the angel said, behold, Mary, thou art with child. That thing that is in thee, that is conceived in thee, is of the Holy Ghost. That was the good news. And you shall bring forth a son. That was glad tidings and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. There was not peace on earth and there was not goodwill toward men until that day. And that was the good news in a very chaotic world. Good news that his name shall be called Jesus and he shall save his people from their sins. Not out of this world, but save them from their sins. And so we get from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and you come to this unquestionable doctrine of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. And not just the gospel, but the gospel truth. And many times today, people will say, oh, it's a gospel truth. You ever said that? That's like making it infallible. It's like, it's a gospel truth. And there's a reason why we say that. Somebody realized that the gospel and the truth are synonymous. They go together. If you don't have the gospel truth, you don't have it. If you got, I got the truth. That's why you get on the stand and they say, tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Because sometimes you can tell partial truth and it's not the truth. But the gospel truth is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. And so the apostles took this truth, if you will, and they made a gospel into it. And so, of course, we have the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, which is the life and times of Jesus Christ. But the gospel truth is this infallible truth. It's infallible. Jesus, after his resurrection, showed himself to them by many, the Bible says, infallible times. Could not be fouled up, if you will. And so these writers wrote the gospel, and Paul speaks to this mixed group of people in Ephesians, and he wants them to realize that what you've trusted in is not just somebody else's word, it is the word of truth, and it is the gospel of your salvation in which you have believed, and you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I brought something with me. I just kind of pulled this off the table as I passed by this morning, and I want you to see that. How many of you want this? See, it was sealed. But here, you take this. How would you like for the UPS man, this is the United Postal Service, it figures, the United Postal Service, to deliver you this and say, here's your package. You're going to go, wait a minute. How do I know it's all there? How do I know that's even what was in there? Maybe somebody put something else in there. I'm so glad my salvation sealed. And if God seals it, man can't open it. But man sealed it, and man can open it. So I don't know about you, but when I go to a store and I pick up a package, I'm looking at it, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this. And look, well, the seal's broken. Now, my experience with that has been, well, I'll just take it anyway. I'll be the good Samaritan. I'm tired of being the good Samaritan on that. Every time I take the one that's been open, I get home, it's missing some screws, the nuts aren't there, the wire nuts aren't there, the instructions are missing. Something is missing, and I don't trust it, right? Because the seal is broken. And the seal is more sometimes than just a something you seal off. Sometimes it's a notary that says, stamps that paper. That's the notary what? Seal. It says that guy did sign that. He was there. It is him. It's the verification. Okay? That's what it is. This when it's sealed, it is the verification that what is in there is in there. But once the seal is broken, my brothers and sisters, the verification of what's in there is no longer valid. That's why I'm glad my salvation is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That don't mean I can't lose it. It means that you can't make me lose it. There's no man, he said, can take you out of my hands. Thank God for our salvation is sealed. Paul said that the truth was the gospel truth of our salvation, and it's sealed. It's the Holy Spirit that seals us into the day of redemption. Now, the gospel truth of our salvation, let me go a little bit deeper here, because I've mentioned this before, if there was no Bible, it would be very, very difficult for me to believe, if you just come told me a story, hey, let me tell you about a man named Jesus that was born of a virgin, and I'd be like clocking out right there. Because in my carnal mind, I can't receive that, because it's not received by carnal minds. Born of a virgin, died on a cross. 3 days later, he got up out of the grave to save us from our sins. Now, if they told you Buddha did that, you wouldn't believe him. I mean, Hare Krishna, you wouldn't believe it. But Jesus Christ, the reason we believe it, not only do we feel it in our spirit, but there's a book here that tells of it before it happened. I want to talk to you this morning about the gospel truth, because the Old Testament was not written in vain. It was written that there might be prophecy. There might be prophecy foretelling about the birth, the time, life and times and death of Jesus Christ. So prophecy, what prophecy does is eventually when it's fulfilled, shuts up all the doubters. It shuts up doubters, and you can make fun all you want to. But when that virgin conceived and brings, you're going to shut up. And so here's what happens. You see, in 2 Peter 1 and 21, the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the thing that sealed you. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, they were moved to write, for the word of God is forever settled in heaven. There's no squabble. The God's word cannot lie. Can you say amen? God's word cannot lie. So it's forever settled in heaven. These men of old, Old Testament figures, Isaiah, and we're going to read a little chapter in Isaiah. He was writing about something he didn't even know about, but he was moved on by the Spirit of promise. He was moved on by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to seal this thing up so that he would write about something he didn't even know about and would not even live to see. But later it would come to pass and he would seal that thing, so that it could not be changed. It would shut everybody up. It would become the gospel truth. My. See, it's one thing you tell me tomorrow, 3 o'clock, it's going to rain, you know, and it rains. It's not. I'm talking about saying a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He shall raise the dead. His father shall raise him up. God shall raise him up and he shall live again. Now that's prophecy, my brothers and sisters. Many writers, including David. David was very prophetic. Did you know that? You read his he talked about, it was him that said no bones were broken. He's very prophetic in a lot of his writings about Christ on the cross. But I want to read to you this morning, on this resurrection morning, the prophecy from Isaiah. Bear with me, it's about 12 verses, Isaiah 53:1. This to me is, Isaiah had the greatest insight to Christ of any prophet. He said, "Who hath believed our report?" Okay, that's the prophecy. "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" That's the revelation. So he's writing about the report and the revelation. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." These are things that are backed up by Scripture in the New Testament. Christ made himself of no beauty so that men would not come to him because he was so handsome and so good looking. They came to him because the Spirit would draw them. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded," thank God, "for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Thank the Lord. "And we all like sheep." Everybody has gone astray. Everybody has left. He said the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep shall be scattered. Woo! "We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Is this so prophetic? "He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth." Pilate said, "Why don't you talk?" He is brought as a lamb before the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. "He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, and the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked." I'm coming back to that. "He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." Wow, he didn't even know what he was saying here. "He made his soul an offering for my sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." Thank God for that. "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors," 1, 2, 3 on a cross. "And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. See, this is what makes the gospel the truth. When you read this and then you read that, you go, this is that. Or you understand. No wonder Joel said, this is that. It became the gospel truth. And time would not permit for me to talk to you about all the scriptures in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the New Testament. But if I could, let me pick it up where I read he died with the wicked and buried with the rich. Let's get to the grave. Because the Bible says, Paul said, that if he doesn't rise again, Brother Giot, let's eat, let's drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's no hope, let's quit now. If you tell me there's no resurrection, I got some fish I could catch today. There's no need to come here. But we're here because we have hope. We're here because we do believe. I believe the gospel truth. You see, now because I read Isaiah, and now because I read it in the gospel, there's no man can make me not believe this man was not true. You see, that's what makes it the gospel truth. All right, let's pick it up at the grave here. Matthew 27, 57. And when even was come, there was a rich man. Oh, what do you know? A rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. See, when Isaiah wrote that, God already had prepared, there's going to be a rich man that's going to be my disciple. And he's going to be the one that's going to put me in his grave. Wow. This man, I'll just tell you the story. He goes to Pilate and he begs the body of Jesus that he might have this body. Pilate said, make sure he's dead before we give him his body. They went out and they made sure that Christ was dead. And they came back and said, yes, he's dead. He said, okay, give him this rich man. Give him the body. He's dead. It's over with. Go ahead and give him the body. So Joseph takes this body, and the Bible says he wrapped it in linen and linen cloth, and he goes to his own tomb, a tomb that he had for himself, a rich man. See, poor folks, they just stacked him up or buried him up. But this man had a tomb hewed out in a rock, in a mountain. And he had him a great stone there. No doubt in his will, he said, when I die, put me in the rock. And somebody roll that stone in front of that rock so nobody mess with me till the resurrection happens. This was his plans for his body, much like it was Mary who gave of her oil and her for her burial, she gave unto Christ, knowing time was short. And so the fulfillment of what Isaiah said is right here. And so he takes the body of Jesus, he puts it inside of this rock, and he rolls this great stone in front of the sepulcher, and he departs, the Bible said. And there standing when he departs is Mary Magdalene and another Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. I could preach Mary, Mary, Mary. There was three Marys at the cross. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was no doubt going home with John at this time. But we have Mary Magdalene and another Mary there. And on the next day, the Bible says, following the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate because they had a concern. They said, now, Mr. Pilate, I do remember, not that I believe him, you understand, but I do remember this deceiver saying something about he would rise again on the third day. Now, I don't think he will because he's dead. We verify he's dead. And then nobody ever rose again. But just in case, yeah, in case, you know, them nasty disciples come back and they rob that tomb and they're going to say he rose again and he didn't, we're going to look bad. Verse 64, Matthew 27. Command, therefore, Pilate said, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. We're going to stop that. Lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the error, watch what Pilate said, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. I've already made one mistake in letting him be crucified. But Lord, if he gets up out of the grave after we crucified him, it's going to be really bad. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way and make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone. What man seals, God can unravel. What God seals, no man can unravel. And make the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So here Joseph has already put the stone in front of it, and I guess they brought their caulk guns and some putty or some something to seal the stone. Because the Bible says that they sealed the stone, no doubt, to the rock, so that there is this gasket, if you will, that goes all around. So we're going to know if them nasty disciples, if it looks like that, then the disciples did it. We're going to know. Mm-hmm. Make it sure. And that wasn't good enough. They decided to hang around and watch. They're going to watch, make sure. And so, I'm sure they're sitting there, I don't believe, it's kind of spooky, a graveyard, I don't really think he's going to rise again. You think he's going to rise again? I sure hope he don't rise again, They're probably cutting jokes and everything because he's dead. But, he did say something about, I'll tear down this temple and rebuild it in 3 days. How's he going to do that if he's dead? Well, I do remember him saying, you'll see no sign except that of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. We don't have much longer. And he's going to be a liar. We're going to make him a liar. Matthew 28 and 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Somebody was trying to believe the gospel truth. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. My. Why was there a great earthquake? Broke the seal. Hallelujah. When the earth began to quake, the seal broke around the stone. And the angels are going there. Broke the seal. Because what man seals is still not private to God. You can seal your lips all you want to. He knows what's going on up here. Hallelujah. And so the earthquake came, it broke the seal, and the angel rolled back the stone. His countenance, he's sitting upon this rock now, watch. His countenance was like lightning. I saw some on the way over here. Just flash, as white as it could be. His raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. They were cracking jokes just a few minutes ago. They began to shake and became as dead men. They fell upon the ground like they were dead. And now this tomb was opened and the Marys arrive. And the Marys look inside the tomb. And the angel says, what are you looking for? For he is risen. He is risen. What are y'all looking for? Hallelujah. It's the gospel truth. It's just like he said he would do. It is so what he said because God cannot lie. Hallelujah. And so verse 8, it says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear, emotions, and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. But watch these poor fellows in verse 11. And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Some that were there guarding it came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. They're going like, you won't believe this. Man, while we were just sitting there and we were just, cracking jokes and all of a sudden the earth began to shake and that seal broke and the stone was, and they're like, come on, you got to be kidding me. It didn't shake over here. Yeah, but it did there, I'm telling you. And then this angel came out and sat on the rock and said, what are y'all doing? He's risen. He's gone. Let me tell you, the rock didn't have to go back for Christ to rise again. I want you to understand that. That's a whole nother message. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. That's what Judas did. And it didn't stop anything. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night. Now, even though it didn't happen, money. Oh, that nasty money. It's a root. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Tell him you're sleeping. And while we were sleeping, those disciples came and they took him. He's not risen. And if this come to the governor's ear, Pilate, which told you to stay on the watch, we will persuade him and secure you. They're going to persuade him with more money. That's what political people do. So they took the money and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. And it's commonly reported in Carlos unto this day. And then Jesus goes on that same chapter. I just want to read it real quick. Let me find it. It's in Matthew. I didn't write it down, but it's worth reading. 28:16. See, right after that, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He told them, I'll meet you in Galilee. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is the gospel truth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The power of resurrection. Do you understand what this power he's talking about? This is the power of heaven and earth. It was the power to get up out of the grave after you've been crucified and been dead for 3 days or 300 years or 3,000 years. It doesn't matter. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he tells them, he said, go ye therefore, what we call the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. What is that name, somebody? Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let it be so. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the gospel truth. Hallelujah. And so in closing this morning, after this great commission, Jesus ascended up into the heavens. And as I said not long ago, they spent thousands of years waiting for him to come. He spent 3.5 years on the earth, and we spent thousands of years waiting for him to come back. This man was the gospel truth, y'all. There's been other men come. He said there was a lot of Jesuses in those days. He said when they say, lo, I'm here and lo, I'm there, he said, don't believe him. He said the spirit of the Antichrist doth already work. But this man, y'all, was the gospel truth. And so I close with this. Their good news, speaking of Pilate and those that crucified him, their good news was also our good news. And their bad news was our good news. Let me explain. Their good news was, he's dead. He's dead. That was good news. And our good news, he's dead. He's dead. Their good news, they buried him. Our good news, they buried him. And their bad news, he rose again. And our good news, he rose again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Their bad news became our good news. Hallelujah. And so I know it sounds bad to say he died. But he had to. If we're going to secure our salvation, that holy promise is going to seal my salvation. He had to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment.
But through his death, he took on the iniquity of us all. Through Adam's death, he brought sin and death into the world. But through the death of Jesus Christ, he brought life to all of us. No wonder he told Mary when he asked, shall my brother rise again? He said, I am the truth and the resurrection. I am the gospel truth. Hallelujah. He that believeth on me, though he were what? Dead, yet shall he live. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Ooh, the power that I feel this morning is in the one that rose again. Hallelujah. I want to be buried in his name. Hallelujah. I want to be buried in the name of the one who has power in heaven and earth, because I plan on rising again too. Hallelujah. The old folks, you say, don't weep for me. Don't weep for me. I'll see you on the other side. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you this morning. Take a quick break. We'll come back in at 10:30 for morning worship.